What? I'm the one that's supposed to have the nervous palms and the sweating and talking to the Blizzard devs. No.
You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold podcast. This is episode number 71. We have a special treat for you today. We have an interview with the World of Warcraft technical director, Marco Kogler, and we talk about 5.4, we talk about the economy, we talk about all kind of really awesome stuff. I just wanted to make a quick announcement right before we get into the interview. The sponsor for this episode of the podcast is the Power Word Gold Guides. We have two different guides available, the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 1, which is about add-ons, which we are awesome and excited to, we're not awesome, but we're excited to let you guys all know that that guide has been fully updated for Trade Skill Master 2.0. So if you've purchased the guide in the past and you haven't received an email from us, we are getting those emails out, but feel free to send us an email at powerwordgold@yahoo.com from the email address you purchased the guide from and request an update, and we'll make sure that gets out to you sooner rather than later. Also, we have the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 2, which is about making gold in Mists of Pandaria. Both of those guides, the prices are $5, $10, $15, or $20. Head over to powerwordgold.net to purchase those guides and to support the blog, podcast, and live stream. With that out of the way, let's go ahead and get into the interview. Hello, everybody. Today we have a special interview. We have an interview with Marco Kogler. Did I say that right, Marco?
You said that right.
I planned ahead. I asked people how to pronounce it. Actually, when I look at it, it actually doesn't seem like it would be that hard to pronounce, but I figured that. Are you from Germany, I'm going to say?
I'm originally from Germany, Yes. So in German, it would be Marco Kogler, but that's impossible for anybody to say, so just pretend the E is not there and say Kogler instead.
Well, my last name is German also. Youngkin was actually originally J-U-N-G-H-E-N in German, so Junkin or something like that. So, all right, Marco, you are the technical director at Blizzard.
That is correct.
And
the technical director of World of Warcraft.
Technical director of World of Warcraft. And so we're so excited to have you on the Power Word Gold podcast today. If you don't know, which I think you do, we're a blog, podcast, and live stream about making gold in World of Warcraft. So today's questions are going to be aimed a little bit more at that side of it. But I wanted to see, could you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Blizzard?
Sure. So I've been at Blizzard a little bit over 4 years. I started working on the engine team for World of Warcraft. So I've done things like redo the water for Cataclysm,
which is
the sun
beautiful,
shafts.
By the way, and both beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. The lighting changes for Mists of Pandaria, and just generally like graphical improvements. And as of earlier this year, I've become the technical director. And as technical director, I am now in charge of basically all the programming work that goes into making World of Warcraft. So the tools that we use internally to build the content, the client that everybody's playing, as well as the servers that are actually running the game.
Awesome. I worked with a few Blizzard people back in the day. Bo Bell. I don't know. It's probably before your time. He probably. Yeah, he worked. They were the original developers for original World of Warcraft and some of the world builders. And Bo Bell and Josh Kurtz and Stu. So I got to hear lots of interesting, cool stories about the tools. And my wife was playing Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 the other day, and I was looking at, she was, you know, raising the train, lowering the train. I'm like, hey, I did that. That's like, yep. That's how the games are made. So
that's a terrain editor right there.
Well, and I also heard lots of horror stories about the terrain editor, you know, just basically like,
I don't know. I don't want to give away all the cool secrets that I learned about the train editor, but I think it's probably improved over time.
Yeah, it's definitely a matured tool set at this point.
I mean, just as a former world builder, I have to say that your artists and the train has just gotten so amazing as far as the looks and everything like that, especially in Mista Pandaria. I think with each expansion, I think your world builders have gotten better and better.
Yeah, Mista Pandaria got a nice tech bump. Like we improved the way that the train textures can blend together, mm-hmm. and that's allowed them to do fantastic things.
Yeah. All right. So you are the technical director now. I wanted to jump right in and see if you can tell us what you can about the major news that has come that has kind of the major news that has kind of affected.
Shocked.
Well, I mean, you know, as a gold making community, we're always keeping our eye on patch notes and what could possibly be affected. And usually it's like, well, this little item's going to change or that little item's going to change. But this is like, boom, the connected realms was kind of like, at least in my eyes, was like, oh my gosh. When we saw that they were going to be, you know, connecting the auction houses, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but I wanted to see if you could tell us what you can about how the connected realms will be implemented in patch 5.4. I think we all have a pretty good understanding of what they will be, but one of the questions that I haven't really heard too much about is, like, how will you choose the realms? Like, do you guys have some sort of algorithm? Or is it going to be playing it by ear? What can you tell us about that, if anything?
It's going to be a manual selection process. So there is no Uber algorithm that makes, you know, a bunch of assumptions about what this realm is and what that realm is, and that these two now need to live together. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be a decision made by humans. And the key idea behind connected realms is to focus low population realms, people that are currently, just dealing with, I cannot buy anything on the auction house because everything is so expensive, or I cannot find, you know, people to PvP with, or I cannot find, you know, people to join my guild or to form like a raid team. And we want to give them a better, you know, play experience. Usually games would do realm merges at this point, mm-hmm. and that means that then you have a group of people that are like, I now need to change my name because my name's already been taken on this realm that I'm supposed to move to. And we've just felt that, you know, like looking at where the CRZ tech was, mm-hmm. that we had a lot more options in how we would be able to approach that problem and give players a way to get some of the benefits of being kind of permanently connected with another group of players, but still maintain your realm identity and your player identity.
I had a question from a Twitter user. We asked a few questions. We asked for questions, and one of the people was asking if there's already a name on one server, when the servers are connected, does that lock out all that name from all the other servers, or is it completely independent, the name selection? So if he has his name on one, will he be able to create a new character with the same name on the other?
I believe you would be able to create I don't think there's anything that will prevent you from creating a character with the same name,
uh-huh.
as long as you're on a different realm. Connected realm, yes.
Okay, will the name show up as name.realm, kind of how it is now, with an asterisk rather than, or sorry, a pound sign, or?
The philosophy we've tried to follow is that people that are playing on your realm will kind of appear the same way to you, mm-hmm. than they did before.
Okay.
And people that are from another realm, they will get called out with an asterisk, so that you at least know that there's something special about them.
All right.
And there's, you know, a bunch of tweaks I think that we'll do as we're iterating on the feature in terms of making chat do the right thing. You know, like if I have a person that's called something in my guild, you know, he's like in my guild, uh-huh. or he is near me, who do you want to chat to? And there's a bunch of assumptions that
we're
making.
Slash whispering and there's two people with the same name.
Yeah, I mean, you'll always have the ability to fully qualify it with, you know, the actual realm name.
Okay.
But we also are thinking of just convenience, and, you know, you don't always want to type that. So we'll have, you know, some quicker ways to select those, hopefully the right things.
Actually, I've been flipping through a couple different realms as I've been doing some auctioning, and it is interesting the difference just from standing in the same auction house on multiple realms. It is interesting. Right. This auction house doesn't have a lot of people, and when I'm at the mailbox in this server, there's like 12 people all, you know, stacked on top of me. So
yeah, I mean I understand that for people who are into dominating the auction house, it's going to create more competition. So I definitely see how, for your community, how this feature is something that's very interesting.
Well, that perfectly leads me on to my next question. And, you know, I kind of thought about this a lot, and it seems like out of all the communities out there, out of all the things that are positive, maybe the only people I could think of that are thinking, oh, this won't be a good idea, is people like us, the gold makers, because being a big fish in a small pond is kind of a nice thing when you're, you know, able to work the auction house and, you know, be one of the few people putting up items and able to control it, and having like two or three ponds now all kind of shoved together. You have, you know, if you say for glyph sellers, there's two major glyph sellers on each server, and now there's a royal rumble of glyph sellers when they all come together. Can you speak to like Blizzard's thoughts on the economic effects, like positive or negative, that Connected Realms could have in 5.4? Was that given any consideration? Or
I mean, it was obviously something that was discussed, but like at the moment, people that completely dominate a market can create, you know, a more negative play experience for the other people that are on that realm, right? And I hope that, you know, that the types of players that are really into kind of playing the market and learning the market, I think the challenge, even if you're on, you know, like a connected realm, I think that the type of thing that makes that interesting is still going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit more challenging because you'll have more people that maybe factor into that. But I think the overall type of thing that keeps people interested in playing that type of game does not really change.
Yeah. When I was thinking of it myself, and we've been talking about it on the show a few times here and there, for the average player, it seems like this is going to be great. You're going to have more items on the auction house. Prices are going to go down, and it'll be more like a high population realm. And I've talked to lots of people that play on high population realms, and they say, well, you make less gold per item, but you sell a lot more items because there's a lot more customers. So for the average player, I think you'll see your prices go down and stabilize as people come in. It's just, you know, and if you're, I don't know, my opinion is if you're a good gold maker, you make gold.
You'll find a way.
Yeah.
you'll figure out the new market and the new situation, and you'll find a way to exploit the fluctuations in the market.
Nice. All right.
I think if you're an OP, like if you're kind of like the only guy on a low pop realm, you're almost like an OP class.
Yeah. You're a Death Knight, you know, and Wrath of the Lich King.
Exactly. So I just hope that the people that are interested in that type of play, you know, they see it as a challenge to succeed, you know.
Yeah. It's like anything. I mean, you know, if Facebook makes one change, everybody complains about it until they realize, oh wait, this really is better than the way it was. It's just the change that, you know, recently in our community, Trade School Master, which is one of the most popular add-ons, had a major update to 2.0, and now everybody's, not everybody, but, you know, people are like, you moved around all my stuff.
I used to have this system for doing things, and now I need to change it all.
So a lot of us, you know, bloggers and live streamers and stuff have been trying to spread the word and share changes, but, you know, in my opinion, you know, change happens, and I think we'll get used to it. All right. Yeah. Next question I wanted to ask is, what can you tell us about Blizzard's developer resources that are related to the in-game economy. I always found this kind of fascinating. I always wondered, like, how much does Blizzard actually think about the economy? Can you tell us a little bit about Blizzard's resources related to the in-game economy?
Wow. I mean, we have quite a few. I actually don't know the exact headcount of people that are doing this, but we obviously look at trends in the economy, and we have ways of kind of like getting statistics on gold flow and those types of aspects. And some of our designers are actually kind of playing the auction house game and the making gold game, and they're very much in tune with what's happening in the game. But as you say, it's also very server specific, and I don't know if we actually have somebody that looks at that on a global level.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always kind of interesting when something happens in the game. Like a few examples I know are like early in Cataclysm, there was some vendor prices for uncommon gems, mm-hmm. like 9 gold to sell to the vendor. And so right. that made it very easy for people to make money. And then as time went on, it was kind of like, well, now they've nerfed the vendor price down to, you know, this.
Yeah. I mean, there's like accidents like that happen. Yeah. And in a way, those things are kind of like, they're almost on a category of gold dupe bugs, you know, mm-hmm. because you're creating gold out of nothing at some point. And those things need to be quickly fixed because they get exploited en masse the moment the news, you know, spreads around. And at the start, like the first person that notices it keeps it very quiet so that they can exploit it a lot. And we do have statistics on people that exploit those types of things. Mm-hmm. And if there's something very egregious, then we may even take action. But in the end, you know, if we made an honest mistake, we try to fix it as quickly as we can, and hopefully don't, you know, blow up the economy too much.
Well, it is always interesting. And as somebody who tries to share, you know, ideas for it, I always, you know, I'm looking for new ways, and you'll hear things. One of the most recent ones was Zoo's Watch, which was a spot where you would get onto a certain quest in Krasarang Wilds and kill these little, you know, Shaw beast guys, and mm-hmm. they would be killed relatively soon, and you know, not too quickly, but they, you know, had some pretty nice
Their loot table was too, yeah, they were too easy to kill, uh-huh. and yeah. their loot table was too good.
So that was funny because, you know, I went back through and leveled my characters, this character was on that quest, and this character, because I actually would grind there just to level up a little bit and get mm-hmm. some green items. So it is interesting that Blizzard is paying attention to that kind of stuff.
It's, yeah, I mean, you're probably aware of like nerfs that we've done to exploits like that in the past, so mm-hmm. we're definitely watching.
Yeah. All right, so I had a couple more questions for you here. What are your favorite ways to make gold in World of Warcraft?
Wow. Well, I was more doing jewel crafting and enchanting type stuff at the end of Cataclysm. For Mists of Pandaria, I haven't really gotten into the mode of I just want to make gold.
That's because you guys gave us so much stuff to do that there's there's like,
yeah. So my primary gold source at the moment is probably disenchanting like gear I get in like from raids and selling haunting spirits and stuff like that. So I do have, you know, a few profession alts, but I'm not at the moment like shuffling around major resources to kind of min-max that, because I'm not buying huge expensive mounts and stuff like that.
I still haven't bought the 120,000 gold mount with the Reforger. Time I quest through there, I always stop for like a second, look at the guy and go, no, because like, you know, once you get a certain amount of gold, it's kind of hard to have that go back down a little
I
bit.
See. I see.
So
it's too big of a dent, is what you're
too
saying?
Too big of a dent. I mean, well, it's relative. Like, you get to a million, and you're like, yay, I hit a million. And then you're like, oh, man, I can't spend this because then I'll go below a million. And then you're like, I'll wait till I'm like 125 or 120, you know. And then you're like, yay, I hit 2 million. You're like, oh, now I can't, you know, now I can't spend it. So what's the most gold that you've ever had in World of Warcraft?
It's probably around just 180,000 gold or so.
Did you have you do you spend how do you spend your gold on just raid stuff or?
I usually spend it a lot on whenever I bring up an alt, kind of getting him that initial set of gear in order to just get into LFRs better. You know, like that initial hump. Of I dinked level 90 and I want to be able to run, you know, the right LFRs in order to gear up quickly. So that's what I use most of my gold for.
Awesome. All right, one last question.
Uh-huh.
When will we see an update to the default auction house interface, including features that are already available in some of your other
add-ons?
No, not add-ons. Okay. I'm trying to keep it strictly to Blizzard.
Oh, like the web?
The web interface and, say, the mobile armory have some really nice features, right, like price matching and, you know, price checking. And try to just go and sell an item and try to match a price on the default interface, and it's really painful. Or is that something that you guys think that the third-party add-on makers do a good enough job?
I mean, I think it's definitely something where we feel that third-party add-on vendors have they're kind of part of that infrastructure for the people that do that type of trading. Usually, like, just matching a minimum price wouldn't be enough for the people that really want to, like, play the auction house game. They mm-hmm. want more statistics yeah. and more features, and the third-party sector covers that very, very well. And actually, like, UI resources is some of the most scarce resources that we have on the game, because every new design feature that we come up with, you know, usually requires a lot of UI work and a lot of UI iteration. So we'd rather focus on, you know, spending our bucks on making new things and new game systems for players to enjoy.
All right. Well,
I think we'll get to it at some point, but it's a low priority item.
After the dance studio and the model refreshes.
I think we'd get to it before dance studio.
All right. Well, thank you.
Promise we'll get to it before dance studio.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. Is
Thanks,
there anything
Jim.
You'd want to share with the listeners here at the end?
Well, I mean, it's been great talking to you guys. I was expecting to get more grilled on the economic side than I actually did. So thanks for going easy on me. And to the listeners, if you guys have suggestions on how I can make gold, you know, I'd be very curious in hearing them. but 5.4 is coming out soon. I hope you guys have a lot of fun playing it. It's one of the biggest patches, you know, that we've done in years, and like, don't be afraid of Connected Realms, but use it, you know, to make more money.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Marco. Marco Kogler, the technical director for World of Warcraft at Blizzard, and thank you, Marco. And maybe we'll talk to you again sometime in the future.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. You didn't get turned into a boss without knowing it, so...
Were you turned into a boss, Marco?
Yes. Flameweaver Kogler.
Mm.
Scarlet Halls.